I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Podsafe the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hello and good evening, everybody. I'm absolutely delighted to have Lynn from Lynn's Warriors channel on with us tonight for the first time ever. Lionel has been recommending Lynn's Warriors on various streams, and I watched you, Lynn, recently on Nancy Grace.
Oh, my goodness.
And you were absolutely phenomenal. It was, like, so powerful what you said. I was in awe. It was absolutely brilliant.
Thank you. Maybe you saw an unedited part where she, you know, let me talk because I'm always getting cut off when I'm talking.
Well, you won't have that problem on this channel, as Lionel has learned. So, and we've got all of Lynn's links are in the description box below this video. We've got the YouTube channel is the main one.
Yes.
So if people will please subscribe to Lynn's Warriors, she's doing fantastic work exposing and fighting the human transporters. And before we get into all this stuff then that's in the news, Lynn, huge thanks for coming on. And, you know, what got you on this trajectory of being an activist for this?
You know, I was working with a client who was writing a book about domestic violence, a very well-known person, married to a very well-known person, but since divorced. And in doing the research, that was about 6 years ago. Sean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I started in the music business. I know things. I'm a New Yorker. I'm telling you, I could not believe what's going on in America and that this was allowed to go on, because in entertainment, there were always, you know, let's do China, let's do Thailand, let's do water in Africa. It was always another place, right? And I'm like, no, at this point in my life, I am going to be the warrior. A word I assure you I have never used in my entire life. And I woke up one day and turned to my saint of a husband, Lionel, and said, I'm becoming a warrior. And he didn't know what I was talking about. And I just proceeded to become like a nun. Like, I had a calling. Like, I have to do this. And I just really didn't know anybody. You know, I just connected myself. Organizations would go online. Started interviewing people. I did have a radio show at the time. I started making all the guests, really good guests, to talk about what I call the nuts and bolts about all of this exploitation, you know, so people could really hear what it's really like, the reality of it. And that just led to one thing to the other. And here we are today. I am honored to be on the Sean Atwood Show.
Well, we appreciate that. But one thing I found is when you are interviewing people who are survivors and you're working in that genre, it's a lot of dark energy to be absorbing into your soul. Mm-hmm. And I've had some ups and downs over the years. How are you finding that side of it?
I have to be honest, Sean, it empowers me. I take on like this positive energy force. I really mean this. I manifest. This is my word I've been using. I don't know where that came from. Starting in the new year, I started saying I'm going to manifest positivity every day. I'm telling you, Sean, it works because things are working out. And I kind of absorb this negative. You know, I just came from a survivor right now, a survivor leader. And they get uplifted from me. And then when I see their transformation, I become uplifted. And somehow I have an imaginary line, I kid you not, Sean, down the middle of my head, the middle of my brain. And I keep it all on the positive side. Now, there are some times when the warrior drifts into the other side, I don't allow it. I see myself going there or landing there because some of the things are very tough, you know, especially children, babies. I stop for a minute. I get a little pit in my stomach. I move it right out. I move it to the other side of the brain. If that may sound a little crazy, but it's exactly what I do.
Yeah, I interviewed a guy who was a crematorium worker, and when he was talking about the babies, that was some of the hardest stuff I've ever heard in my life. So you're saying then that seeing progress, including progress in the survivors, is something that motivates you and keeps your spirits buoyed. Now, you know, we've been collaborating with the Epstein survivors for about 5 or 6 years now. And when we got the news of Virginia, that really rocked our boat, you know, because we'd known her and we'd communicated with her over the years. And you were on Nancy Grace talking about that as well. Could you just share those thoughts with my viewers, please?
You know, the story with Virginia, first of all, the Warriors, we do a lot of things behind the scenes you'll never see pictures of, you're never going to know about, because I really believe it's private, right? If you're going to work with survivors or help them, you're there for them. It's not the, what we call in showbiz, the dog and pony show. You know, here I am doing a good deed. Here's the survivor. I did interview Teresa Helm, if you're familiar with her, a couple of years ago on my radio program. And she's doing a tremendous job. She is a victim survivor of Jeffrey Epstein and very close with Virginia. Fast forward, I'll leave out some details, but fast forward. Virginia, the public needs to know what was going on with Virginia. Virginia was having tremendous and always has been very strong warrior, really wanted to be the voice for other Epstein victims, survivors. That word is kind of interchangeable these days, you know. She was having trauma. She did attempt things with her own life a few times. She did have these breakdowns. She did have isolation. And that, Sean, is the problem. Why wasn't somebody like Virginia Giuffre, this star witness, this voice who came out and empowered others to come forward when she came forward? Why wasn't she protected more? This is what I want to know. So despite all the talk, and I have no real firsthand knowledge, you know, I got my boots on the ground, my sources who tell me things. I will never believe Virginia, you know, did away with herself. I will never, in my heart, my gut tells me no. There is something here. And why can't we know more about this? Because look at today, look at yesterday. There's nothing about Virginia. We have to keep her name alive, her voice alive. I'm very adamant about that. You know, it comes and it goes. It cannot be. It cannot be with something like this. We have to be here and keep talking about her.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just alert the viewers. So YouTube is zapping people off this live stream. If it does zap you off, then just click the channel icon and it'll bring you back on. I've got it on my phone next to the computer screen. And I've been
zapped?
Yeah, I've been zapped off it 6 times since you started. It's crazy, the things
but
we've been going
about
through.
Reality in a very, what I call milquetoast way. You know what I mean? I mean, I could see getting zapped if I went into some real stories of the horror, but wow. Yeah. I don't think we said anything inappropriate.
No, it's just this has been happening since we started reporting on Virginia. It's happened to every single stream.
Oh,
with
yes.
Lionel's. 2 streams and
that's a bit, you know what, Sean, that is a tremendous problem. And this is why we can't get the public on board to understand what's really happening, you know, complicit parties, because we're not allowed to really speak truth and reality about things.
Which is ridiculous, isn't it, that they're trying to contain us in that manner. You'd think that the protection of the kids would be the absolute priority of society.
Now, what kind of a comment was that? You know, and I know, you think our precious children would be at the forefront. Sean, I'm about to give you a shocking statement. I woke up today and I said, well, when you lose Smokey Robinson, you've lost America. And I'm referring to the lawsuit, the civil lawsuit with Smokey Robinson. And I'm beginning to think, with the work I do, the people I know are warriors, you know, everybody almost is complicit in this exploitation. This is what I'm beginning to think, because it is, think of it as this tangled, you know, web with a lot of tentacles or something, because no matter where I go, it's a deeper story. It's something else. And that's why, you know, with the Virginia, with the Epstein, I keep asking these questions to law enforcement, you know, well, what about Jeffrey Epstein? You know, like, can we have some more information? What about, you know, New Mexico? That was never investigated, right? Lots of stories I've heard about that. What about all the other players? People for years I heard around New York, heard. So I don't have proof, right? I'm not a lawyer. Things going on. Where were all those people? Because you don't do any of this alone. It's too big. There are a lot of other players. So I really did wake up and think, wow, it must be like 98% of the population. I think so.
It seems to be disproportionate as you go up in society, whereby there's more and more elite deviants. But getting back to Virginia then, we've had a number of guests on discussing all kinds of different theories pertaining to how she was unalived. And I think it was Lionel actually was talking about, you know, what medications she may have been on.
Yes.
And my personal theory is that the stresses were increased in her life on one side, such as the trolling by Lady Victoria Hervey, her lawyer boys saying that the Epstein collaborators were running black op campaigns against her still to this day. So as that stress was increasing, she was perhaps put on more and more medication, and that could have reached some tipping point and ended with pharmacide. What's your own theory?
What do I really think? I think, listen, she was missing her children terribly. And we don't even know that story, Sean, except she was in the midst of this divorce, right? There were rumors of, you know, domestic situations at home with her, very violent. That's you know, when you dig around, that's out there. Why wasn't a mother allowed to see her children for several months, right? There was a lot going on there. In addition to everything you pointed out, I think it could also be she self-medicated. Maybe she just made a mistake, took too much of something. You know, we at the Warriors do a lot of work with parents and family members with fentanyl and all of that, you know, with the DEA here in New York. And the stories are heartbreaking. You know, the half of aspirin a child took from a classmate, you know, and they don't know. They think it's their friend. It's an aspirin, you know, and then they don't wake up or something. I think it could really be she took something. Maybe she was really self-medicating. Who knows the source, perhaps. Maybe they weren't from a doctor. Some of them. I'm just saying, I don't know if this any of this to be true. I really think I just don't think she would do this. And I also, that whole bus crash thing was the craziest thing. And I'm like, what is this? And then the answer, the excuse we were given, like, oh, that was for a private Facebook page and that wasn't meant. And it seems all very controlled and manufactured. And has she not been around maybe for a long time and we just didn't know it? Right? Like, was she ever seen in a supermarket? Or we don't have any answers to any of this. And she's got brothers. They were reported to be living with her. We have a sister-in-law who said, you know, she would never do this. But I want to know more. I want to know, really, this person, Virginia Giuffre, I cannot say it enough, was a warrior. Because of her, other women came forward. I don't believe she would do this. But here's the thing, Sean. So now what? Right? Like, now what? Where is this all going? You know, and I know we're never going to have the answers to Epstein. We're not going to have it. Even when I heard our own Attorney General Pam Bondi is going to release files and everybody was so excited for days and we're going to get answers. No, you're not going to get any answers. you're going to get a notebook full of, even I know that. And that's exactly what happened. That is long, you know, shut and gone and down, and anything that was is erased, burned, something. But I still want the public to ask. I want you, Sean, to ask, you know, what about all the other players in this? What about the Bill Richardsons, right? I want to know about, we never heard another peep out of him in New Mexico. He just went off the radar, that guy. What about the investigations into that whole ranch? What about the island? There are so many things I think, you know, even our attorney general should be speaking about and bringing forth. But she comes out with a notebook and everybody's like, okay, like we know this from the internet already. Ridiculous. And so I really demand even of our government to get on top of this. But why aren't they? It makes your mind go wild. Are so many complicit that we're never getting to the bottom of this? Probably. Because I talk and work with a lot of survivors. And that's just the way it's going to be. And what a sad stain on America that we take our vulnerable, right? Or just, you know, girls and young women who want to offers of modeling or offers of, do you want to go to a party, right? Do you want to make $200 to answer a phone and exploit it like that? How can we allow this? No, we need accountability. Accountability.
And a sad stain on the UK as well with the likes of Prince Andrew. So I interviewed Juliet Bryant the other day, viewers. That one should be coming out in approximately about a week. She was with Epstein and Maxwell for almost 2 years. And she has named some of the big names, including Bill Clinton. But it seems there's just this untouchable class of people like the Clintons, like the Queen's favorite son, who are immune from any consequences of their actions. Does that make you despair, Lynn?
I'll tell you what makes me despair, Sean, that the public, I'm very serious about that, must start demanding. If we came out in numbers, right? I'm not kidding. If we formed coalitions, we demand answers about our children, our young people. What is this? I mean, Bill Clinton, president of the United States, and they're allowed to get away with this type of thing. We demand. But here's the thing, Sean, in America, everybody complains. Very few actually do anything. They're great at complaining. They're great. But when I try to do events and rallies and things like that, they don't want to show up because they're overwhelmed. They're too busy. Then, you know, you have to shut your mouth and not complain. I want the public to step up. We need to demand answers in numbers because you know what? Your child may be next. Right? And at the rate things are going, if the public sees, oh, a Bill Clinton gets away with it. Oh, a Prince Andrew gets away with it. Do you know, Sean, the survivors, how upset they are? For instance, right now, we've got P. Diddy. I like to call him Dirty Diddy because that's what we called him over decades here in New York. All the women I know, Dirty Diddy was his name. They are waiting on this case, maybe not even associated with Diddy. They want accountability. They want to see rich, powerful, elitist, somebody held responsible for something. And it never happens. And they are so discouraged. And then people say, why don't people come forward? Why don't women come forward? Why don't girls come forward? There are men and boys involved in it. Why aren't they? Why? Because they get treated like this. Nobody believes them. Nobody wants to do anything. It's horrific. Public has to start demanding answers.
And you think part of the fear of coming forward is the apparatus behind the likes of Epstein, because, you know, there's various theories about him running a honeytrap operation, being linked to intelligence. We had the quote from Acosta, it being above his pay grade. How big do you think the apparatus is? How pervasive?
I think the apparatus goes right to the top. It's top down. That's the way I like to call it. And therefore, we will never, let's be real, we're never going to end all of this, right? So we at the Warriors, we work to educate. We work to, you know, intervene. We work to prevent. We work to just raise awareness that these things happen. Because, Sean, I'm in New York City and people tell me on a daily basis, oh, Lynn, that doesn't happen. Lynn, you're scaring us. Lynn, and I'm talking about the simplest little notion of something like, you know, digital safety, you know, very get them just used to, oh, it's like opening, you give your child a phone. It's like opening the front door and letting the world in. I'm very careful how I talk. And they can't even accept that. So you think, Sean, they could accept this? But I'm saying top down. And I've had survivors tell me, people involved. And that is top down. And that is why we will never get anywhere I still maintain 2025. Look, we're talking about these things. A lot of other people are talking about these things. We do have some strong survivor leaders coming forward talking about things. It's opened up. Somehow, some way, I believe if we have one breakthrough, and it could be the Virginia case, like demanding answers, or Epstein. Yeah, we should do Epstein. This has been going on for years now. Like demanding. What about these other people involved? Who was doing the airplane tickets, the hotels? We know who was doing all of that. Where are they now? Because I know she's running around. Nobody's holding her accountable. Did she just give some evidence and they let her go with a pat on the head? So I believe that if we just keep talking about it and have one breakthrough, and I'm really trying to believe under the Trump administration, and when I say to you this is not political, I know that sounds crazy, but the Trump administration, I can assure you, is open to child safety. And this is part of child safety. I know it's kind of like a wheel with a lot of spokes, all of these issues of exploitation, but we got to start somewhere and somebody's got to do something. But I'm waiting for this Trump administration. I already thought maybe something would occur a little better than Pam Bondi with three ring binders with no answers in them. I have to believe I'm going to manifest here. It's something's going to break through. And you know, Sean, and I know, once something breaks through, it could be you saying something, it could be me, it could be somebody we don't even know on the internet, then everything breaks loose, right? Things we can't even imagine somehow start. That's what I'm hoping will happen. And there will be some accountability. But those Clintons, I'm telling you, that is why I believe we can't get anywhere with a lot of issues. And when I hear their name, I say Clintons equal Haiti. That's where I go immediately. Clintons equal Haiti. Clintons equal 125th Street, Harlem, which was a family community, right? African American. They moved in there, Clinton Initiative, and they pushed out all of the family people and took over the whole area, right? Vulnerable people to start with, becoming more vulnerable. What happens when you're vulnerable? You fall into dire situations, right? You can be exploited. You can do things you would never think of when you're hungry, right? If you're a parent, to keep a roof over a head, take care of you, you do dire things. They started that. I don't think anybody talks about that, what they started in Harlem on 125th Street and how they pushed out the communities and how they, everybody was moving in, Magic Johnson, and building things. And people today will tell me that came from Harlem, what happened there. Nobody talks about it. I think I went off there a little bit, Sean, but you know, there's so many issues that are all connected to all of this.
Yeah, and we're trying to analyze the root causes. So one of the viewers has put that the Franklin case never went anywhere either. We had Nick Bryant on talking about that. And we also had a survivor of Kinkora Boys Home talking about it. And when we researched Kinkora Boys Home out of Ireland, it was like the UK government, the intelligence agencies, used the boys to get together with these powerful political figures, mm-hmm. in a disgusting way. And they justified it because of the negotiations with Ireland and the UK, honey trapping, blackmailing, leverage. So if the countries of the world are justifying using children in that disgusting manner in the interest of national security, I mean, how can you ever get around that? Because it just seems like it's just this monolithic structure that the government's got in place, and whoever exposes anything just gets crushed.
Mm. You know, this with the children, let's be real. It's been going on forever, way before we were on this, you know, planet. It's not going to stop. You know, here in New York, we work with law enforcement. The demand is for children. The younger, the better. What I never get, Sean, it was like we talk about these issues, right? How do these depraved people, they know they're going to be like videotaped. I'm not kidding. Like, how do they so easily fall into these traps? Is it they have to, and excuse me for saying this, they have to have a child. So they're doing this, you know, Epstein, we know that's supposed to be about, you know, the videotapes and Diddy, the video evidence and all of this. How do people fall into this allowing this, allowing themselves. I'm in no way condoning this. I'm just saying, how do they allow, are they must be so stupid. But a child, anybody, but a child. And here's what I ask you about that, Sean, which I ask everybody and nobody ever answers me. Okay, where do these children come from? Like, where are the parents or guardians? What happens to them afterwards? What's going on? There's a whole story going on right now, breaking forth kind of underground of, you know, Hollywood, really a boys club, if you want to dig into that one. And there are a few of them older now. They're coming forward. They're getting ready. And it's like everybody, male, I'm saying, in Hollywood. We're not even talking about women now. Boys and men. So until somebody at the top really comes out as an advocate, as a leader, and says, we are going to protect our children. Children deserve to have a precious life, right? Unfortunately, I don't like telling you these things, Sean. We're not going to get anywhere. All we can do is discuss it, raise awareness, and have prevention. We don't have new victims. But then I ask you, people have to realize, a lot of people go along with this to make money, their own children. They give away their own children. People don't realize, you know, familial, all that stuff. That's a cultural thing. How do we get around that? Talk about root causes. That's part of my big wheel with a lot of spokes. That's like two spokes on the wheel. How do we address that? It's so tough.
Yeah, we had Corey Feldman on talking about the Hollywood side of it. Mm-hmm. And I've written a book called Untouchable Jimmy Savile. And Savile, he prioritized girls in care homes, and he called them his sweet shops. So he knew, you know, kids that cannot, they don't have a supportive parental structure in their lives. They're the ones who are most easily preyed upon. And they're also the least likely ones to be believed if they're getting involved in drugs at that early age, or they've run away, or they've got some petty criminal history. They're the ones who are the least likely to be believed if anything ever goes to court or if any allegations are ever made. Savile was so canny. It didn't matter where you were in the country where you committed an offence. If he committed an offence in the south of England, that had to be called into his local jurisdiction. And he had a weekly luncheon club for the cops. And one of the cops who received those calls from all over the country was at his luncheon club. So none of the complaints ever got anywhere. They all just disappeared. He had the whole system completely played like a fiddle. And he was connected to the royals, the Pope, top of politics, everything. So he was preying on the vulnerable in the care homes and in the hospitals, and even rumors of him doing things in morgues. And then he had the all of his connections on the other side of it. He was so powerful. People were really intimidated by him. But again, when you know, it's another one of those cases, he got away with it for 40, 50 years. It just makes you think, wow, they waited until he was dead before it came out.
That's what I was going to say.
How can you go up against such power structures?
Well, Sean, how can society think this is okay? I don't care if you're the Queen of England or any of these people. How can law enforcement, because, you know, working with survivors, and I'm very pro-law enforcement, I work with, you know, good people. You know, you tend to hear always about the bad people. I work with a lot of great people. Right? Very invested in all these issues. Again, you'll never hear about them. There are so many in law enforcement complicit. I'm sorry. That's just it. I don't like saying that. I think you know it. I know it. Same story. Survivors, victims, they don't even know each other. Coming forward, somebody's on a payroll. Somebody's going to a back door. That's what it is. So, you know, we have to clean up that house too, a little bit. And as you pointed out, why was Jimmy Savile? It's so disgusting. I mean, I read some stories about like, you know, like mentally unfit young girls and things like that, just all kinds of things. And it was allowed to happen at all these highest levels. People knew about it. What kind of people are these? These are monsters. You know, Sean, I used to think the world was good with a few bad people. I really thought that. And then in doing all this, and I'll never stop. I want justice for people, and I want to educate and prevent new victims as much as I can. And if I help one person a day, one child, one person, one school, one parent, one grandparent, I've done my job. That's my goal every day. One thing. Today I'm talking to you. So you're my one thing. We're raising awareness, right? But what? How can people live with themselves? I'm not kidding. You know, I don't want to sound so like, you know, corny here. How do they allow this? How do they put their head on their pillow? I'm now beginning to believe the world is bad and then there's a few good people in it. That's what I'm starting to believe.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It seems like the bad ones rise to the top. So we've got an epidemic here of what's called grooming gangs, which are assaulting teenage girls. And, you know, the publicity has been shone on it and the government knows, but all of the major political parties voted against investigating it a couple of months ago. And when a senior politician was asked about this recently by her opposite member in the Houses of Parliament, who graphically describe what was happening to these girls, the politician responding who was in charge had the power to do something. She just was playing semantics. It was absolutely stonewalling, like they could not give a crap that girls in this country are getting assaulted on an industrial scale by this criminal apparatus. It just was something they didn't want to get involved in at all because they think it's going to rock the boat on certain relations here and jeopardize their votes. It seems the ones who get in power, all they care about is themselves and getting their votes and just using this doublespeak to waffle to try and ameliorate the public. But it's not working. I mean, there was huge riots here last year. When some girls were little girls were attacked and murdered in a dance class in Southport, and I went out and interviewed some of the protesters, and they were just normal concerned people. And then Keir Starmer labels them all as far right extremists.
And
we've now got 30 people a day getting arrested for social media posts, and they've introduced the Online Safety Act here, whereby if you do a social media post that causes someone anxiety, you go to prison. It's just going worse.
I mean, listen, I'm serious about this. Like, what is this craziness that's just allowed to happen? I go back to, you know, the girls you're talking about. We don't have felonies. California recently. She fought very hard, Senator Shannon Grove, to make attacking a minor, okay, a felony. She was knocked down. It did go into law. So no felonies for 16 and 17 year olds because they're like, we think they're of them as adults. But our law is they're still technically a minor. She took what was offered to get it into law to protect, you know, the 15, 14, 13 year olds. They fight this so hard. You know, Sean, and I know, and the public knows, nobody's stupid here. They are all complicit on some level. They are all protecting their own interests. I do a lot of work in Washington, D.C. now. I am committed, if for nothing else, to get in front of people's faces and talk reality and talk truth and look at their faces. When I had to see Mark Zuckerberg turn around with parents whose children have been harmed and say, I'm sorry, every child should be able to be safe online. How dare he? How dare he do that to these parents? There is nothing more powerful than They're wearing their child on a t-shirt. They're wearing their child on a pin. And that half watered down, I don't even know. I can't call it an apology. So what I seriously ask this, what are we going to do about all this? We have to take, I'm not kidding, in the UK, in the United States, we have to take to the streets. We have to take to the, like a million person march. We have to. I want this Trump White House to step it up. I know they just came in a few months ago. I know they mean well to protect children. I know a lot's going on. This is the priority. Our future, even where you are, our future adults, our future leaders, right? Where's the protection from day one? We are stopping this now. We're addressing this now. Yeah, you're going to go somewhere if you do something like this to a child. Hands off. But in Washington, again, all of our work at the Warriors, bipartisan, does not belong to a political party. Human rights abuses. Sean, I learned when I started going to Washington all on my own, I started walking around in high heels around the halls of Congress. And, oh, hello, I'm a warrior. Here I am. I did my research. You're working on child issues. You know, let's talk about this. You know what, Sean? They are all concerned, in my opinion, with their next gig. Oh, when I'm done, I'm going to become, you know, on a bank board, on a tech board, on something. They talk a good game, okay? But they don't get the job done. They go right up to the line and it's not crossed. Now, that being said, I got to call out where credit's due. Our First Lady, Melania Trump, has a Be Best campaign we are working on to promote all of these issues we talk about so the American public can know. And she got the first piece of child legislation passed called the Take It Down Act. Since 1998, that was our last time we addressed it. Can you imagine almost 30 years ago, her power, you like her, you don't like her, her interests, people are fascinated by her. She got this done. So, you know, let's give credit where credit's due. And that is something people don't understand, Sean. When somebody's doing good work, you go with them, you promote it, you help with it. I don't care about their other issues. I may not like somebody for some other piece of legislation they did, but when they're doing something good, I'll go with it. And people give me a very hard time about that. And I'm about, you know, I'm an American. I go where the goodness is being done. So I really don't think there is any kind of solution except the public going out and having these, like, you know, million person marches on Washington. You know, you in the UK, we will not accept our children. We will not accept this for them. Enough. And keep rallying. I know it's kind of a simplistic answer. People have to be motivated because this is evil. That's a word I'd never used until fairly recently, Sean. I fought it, evil. And you know what? Now I say evil. And it's only growing. How about the public? It's become, you know, normalized. They're habituated. Every day I'm getting stories about this school teacher with this 12-year-old, this one with an 11-year-old. I can't keep up with it. You know, I get all the press releases. I'm talking like hundreds a day. I'm getting all kinds of things working in this area. And normal people, normal, I don't like the word normal. That's, you know, because I don't believe in the normal and perfect are really not words in my vocabulary. So let's erase that. But people will contact me and say, I've been friendly with this person for 40 years. They just got arrested for this. Were there warning signs I missed? Can you tell me what's going to happen? No, it's around us, all of us. You in the UK, me here. It starts, though, I have to go back to Sean. We got to start telling our kids from the time they can walk and talk very age appropriately about a lot of these issues. Again, age appropriately. It's not scaring them. We've got the internet open up to the world. We've got to be realistic here and forget embarrassment. You know what parents tell me here? I'm too embarrassed to talk about that. Oh, really? Oh, so let the predators, you know, tell your child everything. Okay, that's a good move. Why, Sean, why do people fight this, right? Like that analogy of, oh, they're crazy here about you got to wear a bicycle helmet. You got to wear a seatbelt. They go crazy, people. But this, the open internet, every parent who buys a device or guardian or grandparent, family member, if you are going to pay for that device, buy that device, you better know what's going on there. You better put guardrails and you better really talk to your child. And say, this is what it's about. Again, age appropriate. But you know what? AI and what I work with a lot of tech people, this is the scariest thing. And they'll say to me, We won't go in the public, Lynn, and say this, but it's the scariest thing in the world. What's unleashed? It's unleashed now, not coming. It's already here, and it's been here for a while. People have to wake up.
Well said. All right, folks, we have got about 15 more minutes with Lynn before Kevin Annette comes in on the Pope and the Vatican and the crimes of the Catholic Church. If you've not subscribed to Lynn's Warriors on YouTube, I'm putting the link in the live chat, and it's also in the description box. If you're watching this on replay, please subscribe. And if you've got any questions for Lynn, get them in the chat right now. This is your final chance. Indeed, the evil is expanding. And, you know, it's good that you've got some hope over there, whereas our government is just completely crushing our hope here. And what we did see in terms of the evil was after Virginia died, there was a campaign here to paint her out as a child sex worker who had it coming, a procurer who was complicit with Jeffrey, and all of this disgusting stuff. And sadly, Lynn, there is a class of people who view these kids as they're making choices to be in this profession, which I find absolutely insane. I mean, but how do you try and change the viewpoint of those people?
Okay, those people are sick. I'm telling you, I got a lot of pushback when I talked about Virginia. Virginia's a warrior, being very supportive of her. I guess it's called hate mail. I don't really know. I don't answer any of it. I don't care because I know the work I do, and let those people go out and do it. I have to become a scientist here and explain these are children. I don't care if they're 16 and 17, still their brains aren't developed. And the other thing, Sean, people do not understand vulnerable communities. I work with a lot. They have no parent in the household. Why aren't we addressing that as a root cause? How did that happen? Why is that parent, that single mom working three jobs, so the older sibling has to watch the younger siblings? And you know what? Somebody, you know, tells them, oh, you're beautiful, or you want that nice outfit, or you want that Louis Vuitton pocketbook. These are kids. And we forget sight of that because 16 and 17-year-olds can look like, you know, adults, right? There's that kind of fine line. But we forget their brains aren't developed. I know it changes every year. They're 25 when the brains develop, 24. They're still kids. And I go back to, I keep saying, I want to brainwash society. Vulnerable. Vulnerable. Virginia was approached by Ghislaine initially. I don't know if people talk about this. You can just answer phones and make money in our office. You can do that. And then Virginia explained she wanted to really like go to massage school or be a masseuse or step it up. She wanted to make money. What kid doesn't want to make money? And then they get trapped. And when somebody acts like they are your big sister or that mother you never had, and you feel very trapped. They all tell me the same story, Sean. They don't even know each other. We have to protect, and shame on those people. They're disgusting. I get that a lot. Why doesn't that person kick and run away? Where are you running to? Maybe you've become addicted, because a lot of them are. You know, people keep them in that vulnerable position. You're scared. Where are you running to? Law enforcement doesn't believe you. You don't have a safe place to go. You're stuck. They'd rather be stuck and not cause trouble than try to get away. It takes a very brave soul, or people like us, Sean, talking about it and spreading. There are some resources. There are some good people out there. Here are some appropriate phone numbers. Sean, I leave you with this. We talked about it for a long time here. We have a national human trafficking hotline. Last year was given $9 million. Survivors and law enforcement would say to me, they don't answer the phone. Law enforcement would say, oh, they call us back 72 hours later. I'd say, what? And they're supposed to give you resources in your area, right? Well, now President Trump cut the money. Cut. No, nobody uses that hotline. But for years, the government was giving them millions upon millions. There were all these whispers of they don't do anything for anybody. They collect the money. So if this is something we're all giving out, this hotline, and it's this and it's that, they're all complicit. I'm telling you, Sean, we must take to the streets. We must organize and take to the streets. And I'll tell you who's doing a good job and doing this here in America right now. All of the parents, Lost Voices of Fentanyl, all of these parent groups, right? They want to spread this awareness. They're demanding answers. That's what we need to do about this issue of exploitation. Take to the streets like them, and we'll maybe start to get some answers. But you know what? In the meantime, we got to keep educating and prevent new victims. And we have to educate the parents and the guardians, even more so than the children.
You got a question from Monica. Why are these children left vulnerable and alone to not be able to defend themselves?
Well, that's what we're talking about. Why isn't there more help? Why isn't there a place? A lot of these kids, now adults, have reported to me, you know, a lot of kids have to run away, right? They're abused at home. They think they'll be, you know, better out on the streets or something like that. They tell me this. I'm in New York City. I can now walk down the street by the bus terminal. I'm like, that one's waiting for a kid. That one's waiting. You know, they see a kid with a backpack. Nobody's protecting these kids. Again, there's a lot of talk, a lot of groups, a lot of law enforcement, a lot of this, a lot of that. But nobody's really those boots on the ground, very few protecting the kids. There's no protection. And none of these organizations are talking to each other. I'm always like, why aren't we collaborating more? So we know what everybody's doing. Be on the same page. It is the most shocking thing that we are allowing our kids to be abused like this, right? So there are no protections for children. It has to start at the home base, and then the home base doesn't have protections. It's a vicious circle. The kids take to the streets, or they take to somebody who told them, like I said, you're beautiful. Or to a boy, they become that father, big brother. I'm hearing a lot of that. The big brother kind of thing. And then things happen. We have to be the voices and start breaking this open more and more and more. And I'm committed because I am going to Washington a lot and I am talking about these issues. And I'm convinced that somebody there is going to say, and they already have to an extent, remains to be seen, we are going to do more. We are committed. We are committed to being warriors. Everybody better get on the ride. That's all I can say. This is an American crisis. You've got a crisis there. We've got to come together. Wouldn't it be nice if, like, globally we could come together and say, enough with our children. We're going to do better. But they're not.
Susan wants to know, does Lynn believe Virginia took her own life?
No, I don't personally believe she did. I believe it was some sort of accident. I really don't believe she has fought too hard. She's been knocked down many times. She has always managed, even being in some of her very, you know, you have a good day, you have a bad day. She had some really good days and some really bad days. We all have that though, right? She really did. Imagine this trauma. Imagine coming forward and then having these trolls online, right? Horrible. I believe perhaps maybe, again, I don't know, self-medicating, something went wrong. I really believe that. I do not think she would leave her three children. That is what sticks in my mind nonstop. She was very committed to seeing them again, and also committed always to survivors, to helping them speak out. So I don't think so. I really don't.
So a few people are wondering how you see the Diddy trial and the Weinstein retrials playing out.
Diddy's going down. That's all I can say. In my opinion, Diddy was an informant. Diddy, for decades, was allowed to get away with a lot of things that you and me wouldn't be allowed to get away with. Diddy, there was a lot of talk on the street, you know, about him for years. I could never figure it out. Weapons, this, that, walking around free. How did he have four mansions like that, right? How about, Sean, let me give you this one. His Bad Boy Entertainment was this big building up the street from me here. Big name splash for years, Bad Boy Entertainment. I'm not kidding you. When all this started, and a pretty state-of-the-art looking building from the outside. First of all, I thought, it's a big office building. Why is Bad Boy splashed all over the front of it in these big silver letters for years? When this all started breaking forth, guess what happened to that building? I kid you not. What do you think happened to it? I was walking past one day, because it literally is up the street. They were demolishing it. Now, that may mean nothing, but I'm like, they're erasing everything to do with this guy. He did something, in my opinion. He crossed somebody and they're like, enough. We're going to get rid of him. He's going away. He's going away. But here's the thing I always ask. Nobody can answer. We always heard there were more minors involved, right? And we haven't really seen too much pointing in that direction, because this is going to be First of all, how do you even get a jury on this, which is happening right now, right, this week in New York? How about people were lined up overnight because it's open to the public? It will not be televised, but it's open to the public. You can come and watch this. You know what I wish, Sean, about that? The public would line up when we have, you know, something in transportation that's before a judge, and that, you know, they would line up in support of those people and line up around the block and overnight to be a supportive system. But they're lining up for this lowlife? Horrible. He's gotten away with everything for years. He's going down. And as far as Harvey Weinstein, I'm going to say something people don't like. I don't know why Harvey. There should be 50 other people in jail along with him. It cannot just be Harvey, because I'm going to say something. I do know women went of their own free will to further their careers. I'm telling you this. And so if you're 25 years old and listen, when you go to these film festivals and stuff, remember, I started in entertainment. Lots of people hold meetings in hotel rooms. They have a suite. They hold meetings there. They hold conferences. It's kind of a common thing. Who's going to hotel rooms at midnight? And I'm not trying to be a victim blamer. But come on now, everybody. It's like, don't ride the subway my whole life, you know, at 3 and 4 a.m. You just don't do it. There are some things you just don't do. That's our job now, to educate about this. I don't believe he should be the only one. Yes, he's a horrible person. I'm not defending him. He's awful. I actually had some business with him, but I'm not a pushover when I was younger. Like, no, nobody's going to get anything over on me. Very respectful, very nice, good for the project. Had no problems. And again, I'm not a pushover. I'm not trying to be an actress, be in a movie, or be a model. So my only complaint about Harvey, yes, a lot of horrible things. But so a lot of people have done a lot of horrible things. Why aren't they in prison? We got to put all these people away. Accountability.
So Angel wants to know, how can we prevent Maxwell from getting out of prison early?
She's not getting out of prison early. She's not getting any kind of presidential pardon. And I don't even believe she's in prison. Again, I have no knowledge of this. I truly believe in my heart that she's sitting in a villa somewhere, or she's in the south of France. She's being very protected. How come I've never seen a picture of her in the prison yard, you know, or she's exercising, or she's running, or she's, have you seen, Sean, a picture of her? Because I haven't seen anything about her.
I think she did an interview with Piers Morgan, supposedly from prison, but who knows?
Please don't go there. Please. I I'm not going to say anything about that, you know, so, supposedly. Okay. Okay, Piers. Okay, Ghislaine, right? But you know, yeah, right. Uh-huh. No, I really believe she's sitting somewhere. They got her packed away somewhere. She's on the side. Again, I don't have any knowledge this is happening. But no, we'd be seeing her, you know, like sweeping the prison grounds or something like that. She's doing her hard time. She's repentful for what she did and all that. You know what? She probably will get out early. She probably will, because she knows a lot of things about, remember what I say all the time, top down. She knows a lot of things. She's got leverage.
What's about the Clintons? Queen's Guard wants to know, is it legal for them to withhold mugshots from prison if someone is high profile?
I don't believe it's illegal. I'm not a lawyer. We'll have to get my husband on that one. I do not believe it's illegal to hold mugshots. No.
Mm-mm. You got a really serious question here from Casper. Is Lionel a demanding husband?
Lionel is the most fantastic husband in the entire world. He is a saint. He is a scholar. I pinch myself every day. Decades later, I'm married to him and he puts up with me. He's the most supportive. I'm very, you know, 4 a.m. in the morning, we get up around here and it's like, we got to do this. We got to do that. We got to do this. And he's a very, believe it or not, kind of cerebral, quiet, listening to, he's got the things in the ears, listening to people talking, I don't know, in foreign languages. He goes to bed with the things in his ears. And I always think he can hear me. And I start talking to him. And then I realize for years, he can't hear me. He's listening. I'm telling you, in different languages, absorbing. He is the most supportive. I'm not saying this because I love him. Truly a gentleman. I wish every woman, women actually come to me, divorced or they've been single. Do you know another Lionel? I'm like, no, there's only one. He broke the mold. I'm sorry. And I have to say, if every woman, Sean, had a Lionel, this would be a whole different world, because he is the embodiment of men. A lot of women just don't like men. They've been done, you know, men have been done wrong too, But he really is, I'm going to say, a saint. He's absolutely the best.
What a lovely note to end this on, Lynn. I really appreciate that. That was
I mean it. Really nice. I mean it.
Yeah, really nice.
He's the greatest.
So viewers, Lynn's Warriors YouTube channel, I'm putting it in the live stream again right now. And if you're watching on replay, it's in the description box. Lynn, huge thank you. Is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion to the viewers?
I'd like to say a couple of things, and that is I'd like to say everybody wake up. I like to say everybody can and should do something. We can all do a little something in this area. If you just start in your own home, you know, our hashtag at the Warriors, community creates change. Start in your own home. You have a child, you have a grandchild, right? A family member. Just start opening up some issues. You don't have to go hard hitting. Just be aware. Hey, you know, what games do you play on your phone? Anything. Open up conversation. Get kids, you know, out in nature a little bit. Actually give them a book, you know, where they have to turn the page and hold it. Kids are not able to hold books. They're not able to track when they read. Everything's a swipe. I call it the swipe. Their eyes, you know, just get them off the phone. Start with 15 minutes a day and just wean them off a little bit. It's not going away. We don't want to take everything away from everybody. There's parental autonomy. I can't tell you when to buy a device for your child, but just start being aware of what's happening. And it starts with you. There's really very little help. We help you at the Warriors. And also, Sean, I want to say to you, thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for talking about these issues. And thank you for wanting to, because we know these are not welcome. What were they doing? Zapping us or something? They were zapping, you know. But if we don't do it, Sean, who's going to do it? No, we have to do it. We are the Warriors. So to you, you are a tremendous warrior. And I thank you for being such a warrior.
Oh, huge thank you for coming on. I've got baby Ziggy here, and I want a safer world for him when he gets older as well.
Ziggy,
yeah,
do it.
We're doing it. We're doing it. So I'm going to let you go, close the show, and you have a great rest of your day. And thank Lionel for me as well. Cheers.
I sure will. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. Cheers. Wow, what a phenomenal guest, folks. So Kevin Annett is next on the crimes of the Catholic Church, the Vatican, the Conclave, the Popes, who's lined up next. So I'm going to end this one, and we're going to go over to Kevin Annett. This one should take you over there. Let's hope we all don't get zapped. I got zapped so many times off this one, I couldn't even get back on it on my phone. So just keep clicking the channel icon. Ron's gone over time, though, on his show. It might take you to his.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.